What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the Wrestling Perspective Podcast. That's Lars Fredrickson. I'm Dennis Farrell. It's Q&A time. We're going to knock this out super quick because we got Sammy Callahan, one of our favorite guests on this podcast. And I think he was one of your first, right?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to remember.
It's been a long time since he's been on.
It's been a few years now. And I think when we were talking to him, it was... Yeah, I mean, it's been a few years.
Yeah, so and he's always one of my favorite people. One of the first people that were nice to me in the wrestling industry. So,
well, Sammy's just a supreme talent. Whether he's on the indies or if he's on TV, he's a class act, class guy, and just an overall great worker. You know, anyway. And he's got a hell of charisma. So,
yeah. Fuck him. We're going to do Q&A for now. So we'll kiss his ass a little bit later. But wrestlingperspective@gmail.com if you want to get your questions answered weekly. We want questions, hot topics, anything you want to ask us, we'll answer. I was going to save this one for last, but I want to throw this out here. This comes from Sean R. Dennis won't shut up about his time at ESPN and doing fantasy sports, so I figure I'll ask him a dumb question. How come fantasy wrestling has not taken off, and how stupid do you think wrestling is on apps that you bet on, like FanDuel and stuff like that?
Well, I think fantasy wrestling did take off. It's called AEW. I mean, that's...
Zing.
I mean, but that's the thing. Tony Khan had his fantasy booking fed. I mean,
yeah,
that's where it started. So I think, you know, what we see on AEW is an extension of that. So, I mean, maybe you can't bet on it or, you know, do what fantasy football does and get, you know. Yeah, I mean, this is actually a really good question, Dennis.
Yeah. Well, in the FanDuel stuff, which I always find it hard that you can do legal betting on something that's scripted. Like, you can't tell me there's a friend of somebody that's a producer somewhere always betting on, you know, who's going to win the pay-per-views. Cause you can go on, like, I think it's FanDuel or, you know, there's 100 betting apps now, but you can sometimes bet on WWE pay-per-views. And I'm just, my mind blows up. Like, hang on, I can make money off something that's scripted. All I have to do is know someone that's in there and kind of get the tip, right?
Well, I think that would be a violation in some way. And because, I mean, isn't that, Pete Rose got busted for that, right? I mean,
were they going to ban me from AEW wrestling?
Well, I mean, I don't really know, but I don't really know how that works. Or, I mean, honestly, let's think about it. How many things have been scripted that I'm sure that the gamblers have betted on before? I mean, right. You know, how many people would say boxing's rigged or fixed or whatever, you know? So I don't know. Is there a competitive sport that's not fixed or rigged in some way, shape, or form? I mean, I think maybe that's the counter argument. You know, it's like everybody's doing some sort of fucking, you know, steroid, you know, in professional sports, whether it's like, you know, okayed steroids or whatever it is. And kudos to them. If your job is a professional athlete and you want to have longevity in your field, fucking do whatever you got to do. That's my opinion. I mean, if you got to, let them smoke weed, let them do these fucking things. It's like, you know what I mean? If they want to run at another human being at 20 miles an hour and smack their head, then that's their fucking decision. You know, be a grown man and make your own decisions.
I totally agree.
Or woman.
And you know what? If I don't bet, that's the one thing like I've just never felt comfortable doing. I don't like giving away my money. And so I don't do the sports book apps. I don't do FanDuel. I barely play fantasy sports for money anymore, but I'll be interested if anybody out there, wrestlingperspective@gmail.com, has ever put money on a wrestling event on one of these apps. Tell us what it is, how you did it. Cause it blows my mind that you can do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I bet, you know, when I've gone to Vegas to see the Raiders or whatever, I always put $100 bet that they're going to win. And it keeps you invested into the game to a certain extent. The fantasy football, like I know Wolfgang, my oldest, plays, and he enjoys it, you know what I mean? Because it keeps them, you know, engaged into what's happening, different players. And consequently, he has a wealth of knowledge around the game, around the players, what they're able to do, what they're able not to do. So I think it's kind of like if you want to, like, marijuana is legal in California. Do I smoke marijuana? No. Did I pretty much become paranoid every time I smoked marijuana? Yes. So I decided I'm not going to smoke marijuana. But if that's what somebody wants to do, I voted yes to legalize it because I think it's stupid to criminalize a fucking natural plant that can grow in the wild. And I totally am anti-pharmaceutical companies. And I think that if you, everything that we have to heal ourselves is right here on planet Earth. So whatever. Anyways, that's a whole other diatribe that has nothing to do with wrestling and or sports betting. Next question, please, Dennis.
Timothy from Oakland, please do not move your podcast to Oakland because in a few years you'll be doing it in Las Vegas.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You know what? Fuck you. And he's probably correct. But I mean, here's the thing. I don't want to get fucking lost into this, but the fact now that the A's are probably going to fucking leave, goddamn Fisher, sell the fucking team, okay? And Libby Schaff, you're a fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot. This is the third team on your watch that have left the great city of Oakland, California, where the cultural revolutions of the 20th century happened within their teams. The Oakland Raiders, the Oakland A's, and the Warriors have all left. Great work.
Paul, dear AEW sycophants, your wrestling company will always be third rate at best. Ooh. It's an embarrassment to think that they'll be able to sell out a pay-per-view in the United Kingdom. Do you guys think it will happen? I think it will, only because it's such a great country for wrestling and they don't get much American product over there. I think just for the sake of them coming over there, they're going to sell it out. I think if they came over every month after a short time, it wouldn't be a sellout. But I think just because I don't even remember the last big event that was over in the United Kingdom. There was probably one recently, maybe. I don't know. But I think just for that fact, they'll sell out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be hard. I think you need a main event that's going to be the most talked about thing. You're not going to sell it out with the Young Bucks. You're not going to sell it out with just Chris Jericho. You're not going to sell it out with Jungle Boy. You're not going to sell it out with any of these guys. They can barely put fucking 4,000 people in a place here in America. So it's like, if you look at the numbers, so they need like a good strong man event. And the problem I think with them, they might, you know, every time that they do come to a city for the first time, they always do tremendously well. So I would think what your point is completely valid. But I would also think that what would help them as opposed to it's kind of like, it feels like it's a little bit like a high spot match, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, you're going to go into England once, you're going to sell out Wembley, but then from there, where do you go from there?
Right. Been the question. Where do you go from there? Every time we talk about AEW, you always end it with, where do you go from here? And it's valid.
Well, and that's the thing. And there's no real storylines that I think that you can really sink your teeth in with that company right now. I just really honestly don't. Do I watch it? Do I enjoy it? Yes. But like, you know, I also have to be an objective sort of viewer, because we also do this and we talk about it. You know, is it my opinion that it'll sell out and then will you, I don't know. I mean, you're going to need some heavy, heavy duty caliber people and interesting matchups, not just the fucking Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega. I mean, that might do great in Japan and it might do great with a bunch of people, smart marks, but I don't necessarily know if that's going to sell out Wembley. I mean, fucking Rancid's playing in Wembley and, you know, they have like a venue there. And it's like, I mean, that's a very prestigious. I saw AC/DC there July 4th, sold out. And that's a lot of fucking people, man. So I don't know. Good luck. I hope they do well. I fucking hope they crush it, because I will always want to see wrestling do well.
Here's a question. This will be the last one this week. Miguel, I saw your tweet. We will get to your music question. We asked one last week. Would you like to try to, you know, spread them out? But just know I got your question. It will be answered on the next one. We have to go to Sammy here. But this is something that has been sitting in the inbox for a little bit. I never knew how to bring it up or talk about it. I think the time is right. This is from Jackson. As a longtime Impact Wrestling fan, I know about the stuff with Tessa Blanchard, but do you think we'll ever see her wrestle again? And what do you think she needs to do to fix her reputation? And this is, it's an interesting one. And maybe this is something we bring up with Sammy. We'll have to ask him off the air if he feels comfortable about talking to it. But, you know, I would love to see her again. I don't know. I know a lot of people have done much worse than whatever she's been accused of, who has made it back into wrestling. People love an honest apology. I don't know if she can deliver an honest apology. I've been around her. I've seen her be who she is. I'm not impressed with her as a person. As an in-ring talent, boy, the wrestling industry is hurting if we're just going from that aspect of losing her talent.
Well, I also think that, you know, she's very young, and young people should be allowed to a certain extent to make mistakes. That's kind of part of the growing up process. And I feel like culturally where we're at now, you make one mistake, you can't really, you know, it's so hard to come back, which is, you know, I'm in no way, shape, or form condoning her actions. I'm just, you know, putting it in perspective. You know, it's like, I don't know what she has to do. You're the closest person I have that has ever said anything really about her to me on a personal level just now. Right. So I don't know who she is personally, right? I know what she did. I think that if you want to be in this business and if you want to live in this world, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, man. That's such a loaded fucking question. It's like,
it's tough. You know,
it's tough. But I also think that people should be given chances for redemption. I mean, I think that the way that the culture is right now and how everybody is just stomped to the curb for you know, huge mistakes or little mistakes, or, you know, it's like selective anger. It's like, we're going to get angry at this person for saying that, although the same, you know, somebody said the exact same thing and it's just a different person, but we're not going to get angry at that person. That's where I feel like there's like a little bit of a double standard. Now, you might know a little bit more than me. I know the story, but I don't know the whole story. You know, whatever, man, it's hard. It's a tough one.
Well, listen, Sammy Callahan's here. We'll be right back and, we'll have Sammy Callahan on wrestlingperspective@gmail.com. Email us. We want to hear what you have to say. So, we'll talk to you in a sec.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back. Wrestling Perspective, Lars Dennis. We're here with Sammy Callahan, who, by the way, was one of the first people in the wrestling industry outside of Petey that was super nice to me. So I will always be indebted to you of your kind.
Ain't going to be nice. Quit the ass kicking. Let's get to it. I'm happy to see Lars. Not so happy to see Dennis. See, you got the nice Sammy a couple years ago. Now I'm pissed off. I'm getting older. I'm bitter. I don't give a damn about you, Dennis, but I'm happy to be back on the Wrestling Perspective, especially to see my boy Lars.
Yeah, so fuck you, Dennis.
Yeah, fuck you, Dennis.
I'm just going to sip my coffee and let you two have giggles together. No. Listen, well, welcome back. Fuck you. We're good. Let me start off with saying, I was at your match with Kenny Omega, sitting ringside. It was a phenomenal match. And we always seem to ask Impact talent about the relationship that was the Impact AEW and how Impact seemed to have the shorter end of the stick. And to me, you are a Impact gatekeeper. You are the leader, the guy who's been around the company probably the longest at this point. That's a contracted wrestler.
Not the longest, one of the longest. I think the longest at this point is Eddie Edwards and Alicia. It probably goes Eddie Edwards, Alicia, Moose, than me at this point, I think, on the active roster currently. But you're close. You're close. You got to get your facts straight, Dennis. I'm not just going to let you be out here just spewing nonsense. If you're going to say facts, you got to say them right.
All right. Either way, that relationship seemed very one-sided. We were talking off the air, and Lars and myself, we both agree that you don't get the credit you deserve a lot on what you've done in the industry, what matches you've been a part of, people you've put over, and people who put you over, and you've made them look good in that aspect. From that point of view, how do you see your career from, let's say, the last 3 years out? Where do you view you as in a leader or top of a card kind of guy?
Look, I think it's one of those things. I wouldn't say completely, oh, it was one-sided. It was really cool to happen. How many times in the wrestling universe or the entire timeline of professional wrestling do we have major companies working together? Anytime that can happen, I am all for it. I think it's cool. Getting a chance to wrestle Kenny Omega, I was getting a chance to go toe-to-toe. It's one of those things with me personally in the past 3 years, I have been one of the gatekeepers for Impact Wrestling, but I had one thing that made me hit that brick wall, and that's breaking my damn leg. People seem to not realize. I kind of get some hatred online, like, oh, Callahan put on some weight. Callahan this. Yeah, I broke my damn leg. I came back early because I wanted to be here for Impact Wrestling. I wanted to be back here for the fans to be able to do what I love. I don't think people really realize how bad my leg break was. I broke my tibia and fibia. I straight Sid Vicious myself. I broke my tibia and fibia. It wasn't a crack. They were broken and on top of each other. I also shattered my ankle into six pieces. I came back, and I don't think I've been back now for a year since injury. But I don't think people really realize that it took me almost a year just being back in the ring to somewhat get back to my old self. And finally, probably the last month and a half, I feel like I'm finally feeling to the point with my leg that I'm like, okay, like this feels good now. I'm not as worried about it. It's one of those things, subconsciously going out the ring, just taking one step, like running, jumping, like anything like that was something I had to get over. I'd like to think that I'm a confident guy, but something like that, like, take some time. Like, this is an injury that some wrestlers may never have came back from. And I came back, I'm still able to do it at a high level. But now it's time for me to, like if you look, even in the past, like, 3 months, I've lost weight and gotten better shape. And it's only going to continue to trend that way.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and that we always talk about also about Impact Wrestling, is the ability to tell a story. And not only a story that, you know, for a couple months, but sometimes even longer stories. And that's something that you're involved with, you know, with Violent by Design, and how that story has sort of started and where it is now. And do you think it's a fair assessment to say that Impact does it a little bit more of an old school way as far as the storytelling goes, is that there's always something to unfold and how they all make sense?
100%. I think Impact's one of the companies that is way better at being a company to actually finish storylines. Storyline happens. It's not going to be like, oh, this isn't working, let's just drop it and maybe no one will remember. Like, even if it's not going to work, Impact's going to see it through to the end and try to make it work. I think that's something that we've done with the design angle. Like, I think when we first started doing it, people was like, oh, but Sammy's a babyface now. Why is Sammy joining the design? And they didn't quite understand it. And they were in the generation of instant gratification. And if things don't come right away, sometimes people lose interest in it. They're like, oh, this is wrong. They're using Sammy wrong, or they're using this person wrong. But if they would have just waited and continued to watch the story and watch it unfold, like, there was little Easter eggs in this entire storyline to show that I was actually trying to ruin them. I was actually just generating them into a point to get them where I wanted them. And then the reaction we exactly wanted happened at Rebellion. The crowd exploded, and now everything is like kicked into second gear. Now, like, my promos are getting huge views for Impact Wrestling. Like, everything just took that time. And me as a professional wrestler, I realize I've been at Impact Wrestling for a while. And I think this is any company you're ever going to wrestle at. You can't be in the top storyline all the time. Like, it's going to rotate. It's going to be a continuous journey of, like, different stories you can tell. But I prize myself at being a person. You could put me anywhere on the card and I'm going to make whatever angle work. I'm going to make whatever I got work. And it's going to be at least something on the card that people are going to be like, okay, you know what? That's good storytelling.
How, because listen, I'm a Marvel guy and I'm conditioned to watch a Marvel movie and look for Easter eggs. I don't even want to say average wrestling fan. I think most wrestling fans are not conditioned to look for Easter eggs within the wrestling program, whether it's a wrestling match, a promo, the story. How do we change that perception? Because you don't, maybe AEW with the CM Punk thing coming back was the first time, at least I can remember in a long time, of like visual Easter eggs teasing us. And then with the Violent by Design storyline, how do we do that?
I think it's one of the things people just need to pay attention and watch stuff. So many people are so quick to just watch one clip of a match. And I get it. I'm the same way. It's very rare that I'm going to watch any TV show while it's airing. Like, I can DVR something, or I could watch something online with zero commercials and just skip to the parts I want to see. But by doing that, we do miss big parts of stories. Like, if people were to watch the design angle for the past 5 months, every time that I ruined them or screwed them over, I'd get in front of the camera and weak in front of the camera. And some people picked up on that. And people were like, okay, I see where this is going. Like, I'm invested in this. Some people might not have caught that. And that's no one's problem, because people are going to consume their media differently. But in the world of professional wrestling, I think, hell, not even just professional wrestling, I think in the world in general, I think we all need to open up our attention span sometimes and not be that TikTok generation where we get instant serotonin from 5 second clips. Like, oh, don't like this. Oh, I like this. Don't like this. When if we had actually watched a full clip, maybe we would have liked something we wouldn't have liked before.
That's it. You know, I started thinking about how Cody Deaner and how where he started, substitute teacher. Now he's a wrestler, you know, basically full time, and just how he's been elevated. And it always seems to me that, like, when you want to elevate a guy or you want to, I don't know, you want to have a really good match, or you're always involved. Do you feel like it's because of what you were able to do as far as the indies, different promotions, getting that experience? Do you feel like that plays a big part in why they can put you in any situation and you just thrive, or like, you know, I know that you make other guys, you know, credible and bigger.
I think it's one of those things, is body of work and adding stuff to your resume. A lot of young wrestlers are like, oh, why ain't I looked in this certain light, or why ain't I gotten this? It's because you don't have the body of work. You don't have any proof in the pudding. You don't have anything that people have seen that's on paper that's like, okay, this works. But if you look at my career from the indies to NXT to Lucha Underground, Impact Wrestling, like, I continuously built that body of work of being successful, making something work, successful, making something work, successful, making something work. That's something that don't come overnight. That's something that you get by earning it. And like, that's like any field. Like, hell, if you work at McDonald's and you're shitty on the grill, like, they're not going to give you a better position. They're not going to trust you with more responsibilities. But it was like, oh, that dude's really good at the grill. Let's move him to French fries. Oh, he's really good on French fries. So now not only is he good at French fries, he's also good at burgers. So let's give him some more responsibility. It's the same thing with professional wrestling. The more things you do properly, or the more you take any tiny opportunity and make it work, the more you're going to get in the long run.
Well, I want to piggyback that question, because I feel like a lot of the guys, because you're able to do the death match, real violent matches, but then you can do a, you know, a fucking wrestling match, tell a story in the ring. Now, a lot of guys, when they get into the death match kind of wrestling or in that realm, which I know that you've done over the course of your career, they sort of get pigeonholed into that, right? You've been able to break out of that. Now, do you think that's an unfair stigma for certain guys who, like maybe yourself, maybe you were, you know, maybe there was a moment where you were pigeonholed that that's what you do, or that's who you are, or whatever it is. Do you feel like that's an unfair stigma on deathmatch wrestlers?
I think it is and it isn't. I know a lot of deathmatch wrestlers that are amazing technical wrestlers too, but have gotten stuck in that. But they got stuck in that because that's what they allowed themselves to get stuck in. One thing, like, me and Moxley, like, really did when we were younger, it's like, we didn't do death matches for that long. We did death matches for like 8 months. Like, we probably did in a handful of time when we were younger, like 8 to 10 death matches. And then we like use that reputation. Like, we both did it to be like me in particular, it's like, I am a 5'8" kid. Like, I wanted to have a reputation of like, oh, this dude's crazy. So it's that much easier a regular wrestling match. People's like, oh, well, he cut a man with a pair of scissors. Like, I don't even know what he'll do with his bare fist. Like, but I got out of that. Like, I see so many deathmatch wrestlers now in particularly, like, oh, like, they're in their late to mid to late 30s. They never got on television and they're stuck doing deathmatches each and every week. And like, sure, you can make a name doing deathmatches, and sure, you can make money, but you can't do that forever. Your body's going to give out. Like, I very strategically, like, I didn't start doing deathmatches. I started as a classically trained wrestler, and then I did deathmatches to get that reputation. Then I eased back and showed people like, oh, yo, he's a really good testicle wrestler. But now I have it in my bag of tricks in my career that any, I'd be like, oh, well, Sammy Callahan will do deathmatches.
Sammy, pull that out. Sammy, I just want to let you know that you just said I'm a very good testicle wrestler.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
That too. I'm from Ohio. We got a whole different jargon over here. I mess up words all the time. I stand by what I said. I am very good testicle wrestler.
I hope
I don't regret anything I said.
I hope the dirt sheets write an article that says
Sammy Callahan, good testicle wrestler.
Well, you know what? In a testicle wrestling match, I would hate to see one of these appear, Sammy. This is from your not so distant past. This is a pizza cutter.
That's the good one. That's the nice one. That's like a high brand pizza cutter.
Yeah, and as you can see, there's still blood on this. Whose blood? I'm not too sure.
That one's Kenny Omega's blood. That's me, right. And Kenny Omega, because I remember signing that one and sending it to you.
That's right. So I just want to let everybody know that if there is a testicle wrestling match, Sammy Callahan's your man. And beware, he might bring a pizza cutter. Go ahead, Dennis. You might. Oh, it's the Lorraine Bobbitt fucking death match.
Bro, I remember the Lorraine Bobbitt story. I don't think a lot of people do. If you haven't, look it up. It's wild. Like, I'm a big true crime person, but I remember this unfolding when I was a kid and my parents watching this. I remember every small, minute detail. It was like the O.J. Simpson case almost. Like, everyone watched it. It's like the current, what everyone did with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. It was the same thing with that trial.
I'm going to get this back on track.
Like me a good trial. I'm not going to lie. You got my taste, I like me a good trial. I am a trial person.
All right, from testicles to Lorraine to Bobbitt, back to Impact Wrestling. The one thing Impact Wrestling gets right.
This is a good episode, bro.
This is money. This is the money shot, Dennis. Oh, excuse me.
Anyway.
We said it, not me this time.
I'm just trying to keep my composure here from you two. Somebody has to be the strict guy to keep this train on its tracks. But the one thing Impact Wrestling does right is take wrestlers and turn them into producers. And I seem to ask you this every year we have you on, although it's been a couple years now with PD going to WWE, being a producer there, Chris Sabin, wrestling and producing and thriving. What about you? Is this in your future as you get older? You said it at the beginning of the show. You're getting older now. You can't keep this up. What are your plans for the future in the wrestling to either stick around or disappear?
I think I easily still got a good 10 years in me, so I don't think it's that far from the future, but six. I've made a point since day one of the wrestling business. I've been in the wrestling business since I was 15 years old. I ran shows when I was 17, 18 years old, and run shows now. Like, I made a point to learn every job in professional wrestling, from promoter to graphic design to video editing to live broadcasting to agenting to writing to, like, pretty much to advertising a show, to pretty much any job, professional wrestling, I feel like I can do, because I love professional wrestling. I always want to work in professional wrestling. So I feel like no matter what I end up doing in my career, I feel like I can always be plugged in somewhere and have a job and make money with professional wrestling. I'm not just a wrestler. And I feel like too many people get tied in and put all the eggs in the basket of, like, I'm just a really good professional wrestler. Yeah, well, a lot of people are really good professional wrestlers. At some point, your body gives out. What are you going to do after that? Like, I don't want to be one of those guys that have to go change my career when I'm 40, 50 years old. Like, I always want to work in this field. And I very strategically, my entire life from middle school on, learned and taught myself that will help me continuously have a job in professional wrestling.
I was going to say, don't fuck up, because you may be a host on this podcast. This is where people's career go to die.
How are you saying that about Lars? You say that about you, Dennis. You can't say that about Lars.
I mean, that's fucked up, Dennis.
I know.
Low point in everybody's life is being a host on this podcast.
No, at least we have normal backgrounds. We don't look like a ghost popping in and out of shot with your little green screen effect. Ghost? You're a ghost, Dennis. How do you like that?
Yeah, how do you like that, Dennis? Jesus. Yeah. So I'm going to have to get the fucking show back on track. I want to talk about the ladies division in Impact. And I think it's the best women's division in professional wrestling.
Agreed.
Historically, when you watch Impact Wrestling, the women always are strong. And I feel like, not to steal a phrase, but is that by design in the company? Is that something that they put a lot of importance on?
I think it's one of those things of equity. Like, Impact Wrestling isn't just a clout chasing organization that might do things to try to appeal to a certain demographic. Impact Wrestling, it doesn't matter if you're a woman, a man, if you identify as something else, it doesn't matter your sex, your religion, your race. None of that matters. As long as you're good at professional wrestling, that's all that matters. That's how professional wrestling should be. Like, if you're good, you get booked. It doesn't matter what your political beliefs is. It doesn't matter what you adhere to. Like, if you're good at professional wrestling, you're good. I think Impact Wrestling has done a great job of cultivating a locker room that we all believe that. Like, we all get along. We don't care who anyone is or what they believe in. As long as you go there, do your job, be a good person, that's all that matters. And I think that's why the women's division does extremely well, because the knockouts division, because they've always been given that opportunity, because they don't just book someone that's a pretty face. Sure, we have a lot of beautiful knockouts. But at the same point, I would put any of our knockouts in the ring with any guy in the business and have the main event anywhere in the world. Like, you look at Rebellion a couple weeks ago, and Deonna Purrazzo and Jordynne Grace had main evented the show over everyone, and it was absolutely amazing. It wasn't just like, oh, that was good for a women's match. No, that was a good professional wrestling match. And I think that's what professional wrestling needs to be, and Impact Wrestling does that better than anyone.
Well, the reason why I mentioned that is because Rhea and Charlotte at WrestleMania, for me as a fan, that was probably one of the greatest women's matches I've ever seen. But then, like, literally not a short time later, we got Deonna Purrazzo and Jordynne Grace. And it's like, well, wait a second. Maybe that wasn't one of the greatest. Maybe that's, you understand what I'm saying? It's like, I really felt like watching that match, I was watching something, like you said, completely special. It was just, I don't know. It was unbelievable. So I'm sorry.
And I think it's one of those things that's changed professional wrestling. It used to be in the 90s and early 2000s. They just looked for a good looking model that didn't give a damn about professional wrestling to play a role. Now, all these women and all these professional wrestlers, they want to be professional wrestlers. And that's why they're good. That's why they actually stick to it. That's why you see these women having amazing careers and doing amazing things, because they actually want to be professional wrestlers. It's like taking professional athletes. I'm not saying all professional athletes don't translate into professional wrestling. Like, some people, this is a backup, and you can tell their heart's not in it. But some, like, you look at a guy like Moose, as much as I hate him and want to just punch him in the head every time I look him in the face, he's a guy that before he even got in NFL, he wanted to be a professional wrestler. And his mom's like, yo, please go to college. Please do this for your career. So he did that. He was really good at what he did. So then once he was able to end with the NFL, he's like, you know what? I'm going to follow my dreams of being a professional wrestler. And that's why he's successful. And I feel like anyone that is an athlete that transfers to professional wrestling, that's the only way you're going to be successful, is if you absolutely want it. Because this job's hard. Professional wrestling is the greatest thing in the world, but it's also the worst thing in the world. Like, my body is destroyed. Like, everyone's body is destroyed, but we do it for the love of the game.
You know, speaking of wrestling and being hard, I went to probably now 2019, 2018, a Wrestle Revolver show, and I absolutely loved it. I need to make it back down to Dayton and see another one, but you've got a school down there. You're pretty plugged into the independent scene. For, I guess, maybe the major wrestling fans, you're pretty plugged in on who the next generation of guys coming up are. I mean, Trey Miguel, guys like that came up because of you. Who are the next generation of, I don't want to say the Trey Miguels, but those next guys that are coming up in the wrestling industry that we should keep an eye out on?
I don't think they came up just because of me. I think those guys, like, listen to the right people. I was happy to be a part of that for guys like the Rascals, Ace Austin, Rich Swan, like all these different people. Like, right now, if I'm saying, like, who I think is going to be the next big breakout wrestlers, like, one person that I think has the sky's the limit, just got signed to Impact Wrestling, one gut check, is Jason Hodge. Like, Jason Hodge is a guy that was trained by Trey Miguel. There we go. And look at him. The dude is, I want to say, 22, 23 years old. He's a stud. I think he's going to be absolutely a star. Or if you look at something like my company, The Wrestling Revolver, there's two guys that I've kind of taken under my wing, and Crash Jackson and Damian Chambers. I think those are two guys you're going to be seeing in the next couple years.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's weird when wrestlers from other promotions, like, let's say the top four, and we'll call the top four WWE, AEW, Impact, and NWA, just for shits and giggles. Do you think it's weird when somebody from one of those companies tweets something positive about another company?
I'm not a fan of it, because I am one of those people, like, I don't think everything needs to be broadcasted online. If I have a friend in another company, like, I'm going to tweet them, I'm going to text them or call them. And, like, no one needs to know my relationships or my friends or anything about my personal life. And I feel like too many people put shit online just to get their points of, oh, I know this person, or, oh, this is going to generate buzz, or they tweet stuff just to get the retweets, where at the end of the day, retweets ain't money. Retweets and Twitter isn't real life and real relationships. Like, that's why if anything like that I have, like, I'm going to contact them personally, because that's what a real friend does. If that's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, and today's, sorry, Dennis, I'm sorry. Nope. I didn't see my finger. That's our cue.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, because one of the things I was thinking about is that the way that the modern world is, and everybody's very thirsty for likes and for retweets and all these other things, you know, it almost takes does it take the suspension of disbelief away from what professional wrestlers are trying to do?
100%. And that's like my biggest gripe with it. Sure, I understand we're in 2023. Kayfabe ain't what it used to be. Like, the cat's out of the bag. But at the same point, like, I kind of miss the tribalism of, I work for this company. This company's the best. Screw all the other companies. Like, that's how I feel like it should be, because that generates the most, like, when you get an entire roster behind the product, that's when the show's better than it'll ever be. If all the Impact talent was like, yo, Impact's the best. Screw everyone else. I don't even care about anything else in wrestling. And then all the AEW people did the same thing. Then all the WWE and all the NWA people did the same thing. But it's one of those things, we let the cat out of the bag so freaking much that we do not seem larger than life to anyone. And I understand we're real people. And I understand that, like, the business has changed. But, like, I still want to have somewhat of mystique about what Sami Callihan is and who Sami Callihan is. That's why you look at my social media, you'll never see me talking about anything political, anything religion, anything that is outside the realm of professional wrestling, because my social media is for my business. My social media is for Sami Callihan, the wrestler. What I do behind closed doors in my real life, I don't want the world to know that, because I do like privacy. And I think that's why so many wrestling fans are so inherent that they know wrestlers and are friends. They think they're friends with wrestlers, and they think they can do whatever they want because we've let them into our life that much. Well, that's like, nothing against fans. Like, the fans they're great. They're the reason we're able to do the things what we're able to do. But at the same point, when you have fans showing up at airports with 100 things to sign, like, that's wild to me.
Well, I mean, do you think that you keeping your privacy, you know, intact in setting those boundaries has held you back from being a bigger star? Not that you're not, but a bigger star?
No, I think if anything, it's helped me. Like, if you look at one of the biggest claims of notoriety I have in my career was me and Eddie Edwards' baseball bat incident. The reason we didn't go online and be like, oh, this was an accident, or oh, this and that, or this and that, and this and that. We played into that because, like, at the end of the day, people still do want to be entertained. People still want to have their suspend their disbelief. And if you look at movies, like, too many people, like, I don't understand why people watch movies or people watch professional wrestling as a fan and want to jot down notes about, like, oh, I give this match 2.7 stars. Oh, this match could have used a little bit more of this. Or, oh, I wish this match would have had this. Like, what happened to just enjoying it? And, like, yay, my guy won. Boo, my guy lost. Like, I, as a person, just couldn't imagine putting that much effort into, like, not liking something that I love. Like, I'm going to try to like stuff I even don't like. Because, like, I am that type of person. I will watch a shitty movie that everyone else is like, oh, this movie was terrible. Don't watch this movie. Then I watch it. I was like, yo, I actually kind of like that movie. I don't let other people's, like, likes or dislikes change how I'm going to feel about something. And I think that's a huge problem with society right now. I think that's even a huge problem with some professional wrestlers with social media. We're all going to look at the negative more than the positive. We might have 150 people go, that match was awesome. And, like, in your mind, you're like, that match was awesome. I love that match. But then we have two people say, oh, I didn't like that match. And then you let that ruin your day. Like, you let someone else's opinion change your feelings on your art form. And that's not how I want to live life.
No, amen to that. And that makes me think about, you know, wrestling, the news, how much it gets out there that is just, like, fucking insane. Or it could be wrestlers feeding the dirt sheets certain things for angles, and they don't even know that the fucking... So let me ask you this, and just be truthful and honest with me. Do you consider dirt sheets, wrestling news, do you consider that legitimate journalism?
I feel like it has to be at this point. How is it any more non-legitimate journalism than someone writing about the movie? Like, I feel like it is, but me as a wrestling fan, I never would have wanted to know the surprises. I never would have wanted to know what's happening backstage. Now, too many people believe more in someone getting an argument backstage than they do in a storyline that's actually happening in front of them. Like, as a fan, I want to be surprised. Like, do you forget that feeling like watching the Attitude Era in the 90s or watching the Monday Night Wars and not knowing what was going to happen? Now, everything's out on the dirt sheets an hour before. This person's backstage. This is going to happen. There was talks about doing this match at the pay-per-view. Like, I don't want to know. Like, I never wanted to know. But that's just me. I'm also a person, like, I don't like spoilers with movies. I don't like... Like, no, let me be surprised. I want that surprise. Like, that's that raw physical emotion you get from being surprised that we don't get anymore because we just read spoilers and we read everything else now.
You know, it seems like when it's done right, and it hasn't been often, where something comes out on dirt sheet and then a company runs with it and creates an angle, it seems to work. Why? Because let's be honest, as smart as the fans think they are, and I think I'm one of those guys sometimes, we're all dumb when the thing comes out and you start seeing it play out on TV. Why do we not see that more throughout different companies where they take advantage of the fans that think they're plugged in and know everything that's going on and take advantage of that and create like a new type of kayfabe out of it?
Because as loud as they might be, and I see companies trying that, as loud as they might be, that's not the majority of professional wrestling fans, as much as we want it to be. I always use this analogy. If you watch Raw or Impact Wrestling or AEW on Twitter, everyone's like, Twitter's the world. Twitter is the everyone's opinion. So Raw, just using this example, guess what? Let's say it gets watched 3 million people watching on Monday. But on Twitter, the term hashtag Raw or Raw was mentioned 20,000 times. Like, that really puts things into grand perspective. So the people that are watching it, that's what, 10% actually tweeted about it? So that's 10% of the fan base we let dictate the entire world. And that's the same thing with music, movies, anything else. People might complain about this person playing this role as an actor on social media. Oh, we got a million people to sign this petition that we don't want this actor in this movie because this person is not right for the part. But then it still makes $1 billion at the box office. We put too much emphasis on what, like, sure, we should listen to social media at some point, but we just always have to keep it into perspective that that is a small percentage of the world. Not everyone has Twitter. Not everyone uses Twitter. Like, we do because we're professional wrestlers and a lot of other people do, but in the grand scheme of things, maybe 10% of the world actually has Twitter.
Do you think that because the world is in a place where we're advancing so quickly, has, you know, and I feel like 10, 15 years ago, wrestling just kind of had caught up to, like, not, I wouldn't say pop culture, but it sort of caught up, you know, in a sense, it didn't feel like so behind. Do you feel like now wrestling tries to get to the future before it should, meaning that the way things are presented to us are so quick and so, like you said, given away, that there's really no time to actually, you know, involve our imagination and or our emotional connection to the person, the wrestler, the character, whatever it is?
I think one thing is, like, professional wrestling in particular, we're usually on the pulse of what's going to become relevant. Like, professional wrestlers was using Twitter before Twitter really blew up and became a thing. Professional wrestlers was using MySpace to advertise himself before MySpace blew up like that. Professional wrestlers L was using TikToks. Like, all, we're great at figuring out what the next trend's going to be. But it's one of those things we have to understand that there's a world online and there's a real world. Like, online, as much as we might think it is not the real world. Like, there's an entire, I could never log onto Twitter ever again. I could disappear from wrestling and go live an entire new community and not know anything that happened about professional wrestling ever again. I'll never even hear about it. I'll never even hear about movies or anything. It all determines, like, what you want to do in life. Like, life is that weird around the world. We allow the internet to be like, the internet is everything, but it's really not. There are so many people in the world that may not even have the internet, like, which is crazy to think, that don't have the internet, or people that aren't logged in every minute, every day, posting everything they're doing, and they're still living their life and having happy lives, because what happens in the real world is also real. Just because I didn't tweet about eating an apple on Twitter doesn't mean I still didn't eat the apple, if that makes sense.
I want to go back and talk about this injury you had. And I know that you're smart enough to put yourself in a position where you won't hurt yourself again. Or if you're not ready to be at a main event level, you won't try to jump up into the main event level without exposing that you're not 100%. So right now, today, where are you at as in health? Are you 100%? Are you 75%? And how hard, two-parter, how hard is it to not be part of that main event picture while you're still trying to get healthy?
Oh, I can be plugged into the main event anywhere right now in any wrestling company around the world. Like, I don't have any gruff on that. As far as like physically, my leg, I think I'm about like 90%. Like, I think when I came back, I was probably at 60, and it took me a year of being in the ring and traveling again to get it back to where it's going to be. Like, that's something I have to realize. With my leg will never feel 100% ever again, but 90% is pretty damn good. Like, I'm still going to be able to do the things I used to. My big thing right now is like, I finally got the leg where I wanted to, and now I'm really starting to concentrate on my body. Like, when I was injured, I gained like 50 pounds. Like, I wasn't able to, like, that's another thing people don't realize. When I was injured, I wasn't even able to do cardio for almost 4 months. Like, I wasn't able to do anything because I had holding pins in my leg. So I couldn't stress my body at all. So I sat on my couch depressed as hell for 4 months straight, not doing shit. There'd be 3 weeks at a time I wouldn't even leave my house. Like, going from that to getting back, like, on the swing of things, it was something when I started leaving the house again and started traveling again, like, that messed with my psyche completely. Like, I had anxiety about just going outside. Like, it wasn't like an anxiety I could control. It was like, wow, this is different. Like, I'm going back out into the world. I'm not held up in my bubble anymore.
Well, you know, I need to take this opportunity to put you over in a major way, because, you know, so this is a two-part question. I feel like you're one of the most humble guys I've ever come across, especially in the professional wrestling business, where it's pretty much, you know, counterintuitive to bring humility to the table, right? Because I feel like you need a certain amount of ego, a certain amount of narcissism to be successful. I think about the history that you've had, the experience that you've had, and I'm pretty sure, and I'm guessing, maybe you can correct me, but I feel like a lot of the big high profile matches that you've had in your career, you've had a majority of what's been done in them, because it feels like a Sami Callihan style of match. And I'm talking about, like, you know, with fucking Omega, the list can go on and on and on and on. So how much of that am I on, and how much of that am I correct? How much of that credit? Because it doesn't seem like you get the credit that you deserve in a lot of ways for your matches. It seems like the more high profile guy seems to walk away with the kudos. So
it's one of those things, and this is something we have talked about before. Look, I've been extremely blessed to wrestle some of the best wrestlers of all time, like wrestle some of the best wrestlers currently on the planet. My match with Kenny Omega, my match with Pentagon, like both matches that won match of the year for different companies and everything else. My match with some other people, like, it was one of those things. Like, I don't think some fans and people really realize, like, they always, I've seen this in my career a lot. It's been since day one. A match will get super high regards that I'm in, but it'll always be the other person that gets the credit. Like, oh, like, Kenny Omega, look what he did with Sami Callihan. Oh, Pentagon, look what he did with Sami Callihan. Oh, Tessa Blanchard, look what he did with Sami Callihan. Like, why is it never, look what Sami Callihan did to these people? Because there's one common denominator in all these matches and all these, like, things that really pop off, and it's usually me. Like, and I don't like being that person. It's like, oh, I'm this good, I'm that good. But at the same point, like, if you look at my track record in professional wrestling, anytime I wrestle someone of that stout and a match gets that kind of, like, oh my gosh, like, it is a Sami Callihan style match, because I really do coin myself as being the most versatile wrestler on the planet. Any style, any opponent, I can do it and bring the best out in people. And, like, that's just some performers. Some wrestlers are going to be people who's like, yo, like, this person brings the best out of this person. This person brings out this person. And, like, that's been my career. That's been my forte since day one, I feel.
Lars, did you have a follow-up? You had your finger up.
No, I was going to pick my nose, and then I got distracted.
Well, I know we're wrapping this up, and my final question kind of along those lines, and I'm kind of shocked we haven't brought this up earlier, but is your ability to change your persona with still being Sami Callihan, where you don't get that kind of credit, where, like, every time Chris Jericho tweets it a little bit, everybody's like, he's the smartest man in the business. Like, he's just wearing a tie, guys. What's going on? But you keep changing little bits of you, which if you're smart and you watch wrestling, you go, holy shit, that's fucking genius. But once again, you don't get that credit of being very smart on how to change without changing who the core Sami Callihan person is, and calling back to different personas. Is that something that maybe, because once again, I like to think I kind of know you a little bit on a friendly basis. Is that something that bugs you where you don't like, come on, guys, did you not catch that? That's fucking genius.
It's kind of funny because I do have moments like that. I remember, like, I like to coin this moment, like, compared to this moment. So Rob Zombie put out the Munsters movie, and it was super campy, super cheesy, and everything the Munsters was from the original release of the 50s and 60s. And I saw people being like, oh, this movie would have been, like, really great if I thought that Rob Zombie tried to make it like this. I think he just accidentally made it like this, so it's a sucky movie. It's like, he made it like that, like, for a reason, like, but people still don't want to give people the credit for something they created. Like, obviously he made it cheesy and campy for a reason. Like, you don't just get to say, like, oh, I don't think he meant to do that, so I'm not going to give him the credit. Nah, fuck you. Like, he did that for a reason. That's the same thing in professional wrestling. And I use a guy like Chris Jericho as a blueprint. Like, I always tell young wrestlers, like, look at Chris Jericho's career. Every couple of years, he's done something to reinvent himself and become relevant. And I follow that my entire wrestling career. And I've gotten to the point, look, I have a lot of people that love me. And when the people that love me. And I have a lot of people that hate me and will always hate me. But they're always talking about me. I'm never a guy that just disappears and no one hears about. Like, I'm always a guy, no matter where I was, if I'm on television, if I wasn't on television, I'm always somebody that the wrestling world is talking about. And that's called being a professional wrestling, being successful at what you do.
Have you actually ever had a conversation with Jericho about this?
100%. I did this podcast a couple years ago, and I've said that exact thing. Like, that I based everything off, and I've seen many podcasts before. Like, he is without a doubt one of the greatest of all time. Like, the dude still does it at a high level, and the dude has always reinvented himself while still continuously being Chris Jericho. And that's the art of professional wrestling.
Agreed. I mean, I don't really think that I have a follow-up question. I think that was the perfect ending.
All right. Well, listen, Sammy, Wrestle Revolver, that's a huge thing. I want to come out and see another show. So
you and Lars both got to come out to the show. You guys got to come out to one of the Iowa shows, dude, because they're crazy. We draw like 1,500 people in Iowa. Wow. There's lasers, there's smoke. We have the best wrestlers from we're a rare breed where we can book people from Impact Wrestling, AEW, Ring of Honor, like all the major companies. I can get everyone under one roof, and we have a great time.
I'm only an hour away from Dayton.
Dayton ones are fun, but I'm telling you, you got to make the trip to Iowa. It's worth the $150 flight. I'm telling you, Dennis, it's worth it.
Okay. Okay. Lars, let's go.
I've always wanted to go back to Iowa.
Said no one ever.
Yo, I love Iowa. I'm not even gonna lie. I've been going to Iowa since I was 14 years old because I have family out there. If I didn't live in Ohio, I'd probably live in Iowa. I like Iowa. Des Moines is pretty cool, man. I'm not gonna lie.
No, listen, Des Moines is a very cool city. I've been there a few times.
The nightlife's great. The club's great. The atmosphere is great.
I always I end up there in the summertime for whatever reason, and I always feel like you kind of look forward to that. Because and the days that I've been there in the midst of summer have always been these nicer days, and it's like it's just the wide open space. I don't know. It's definitely a fucking very cool.
And the city's one of those places. It's still a big city, but it's not like New York where you can't. It takes you an hour and a half to drive. Yeah, yeah. 5 minutes. Like, yeah, yeah. You can get around Des Moines pretty easily in the city. Like, there's so many good things to do in Des Moines. I run some pretty badass wrestling shows in Des Moines. Who would have thought?
Well, I would much rather come to Des Moines than New York City. So there you go.
Open invitation anytime you want to come out.
All right. Well, Wrestle Revolver, go check them out. Impact Wrestling, of course. Go watch Impact Wrestling, YouTube them. Every place you get your wrestling media, that's where Impact.
We're on Access TV every Thursday, 8 p.m. You can watch us on Impact Ultimate Insiders on YouTube. It's like $1.99 a month. If you have internet, you got Impact. No excuse.
And Sammy, are you still doing Twitch?
No, I didn't like it.
All right. No, don't.
I tried it. I like to play video games for myself. I don't want to talk to people. It's too much. It's too much.
Well, listen, we'll say our goodbyes off the air, but Sammy Callahan, thank you so much. Go Google him. Follow him on social media if you want to get whatever he's doing wrestling-wise. Sammy, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you. Testicles, for sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.